Greetings. Welcome to Tony Broome Ministries, the old time preaching from God's holy word. Here's a message with an unusual title, Pentecostal Umbrellas. This is one of these strange message titles, Pentecostal Umbrellas. I want to talk to you about Pentecostal umbrellas. An umbrella is used to protect from rain and sometimes even the sun. In fact, the Spanish word for umbrella, paraguas, is made from a compound word meaning to stop waters. Of course, umbrellas can be opened or closed, lit up or taken down. As we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21, you decide whether the Pentecostal umbrella should be opened or closed, let out or let down, closed up or closed down. Well, if I take an umbrella and I tell my wife I've got the umbrella closed up, it's closed up. Well, is it closed up or is it closed down? Do I let it up or do I let it out? The Bible said the Lord prepared a big old fish to swallow up Jonah. Well, did he swallow him up? Did he swallow him down? And then we wonder why people are so confused about Pentecost. The names of the Pentecostal umbrellas denoted by the word beginning with the letter P. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. The Pentecostal umbrella is pour. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. God has promised in the last days to pour out his spirit. Shed forth his spirit. Pour out his spirit. We've got to decide whether we're going to lit up the Pentecostal umbrella to keep the spirit from pouring on us. Some people say it's not for our day. We don't want that. We don't want to get too excited. We don't want to get too out of hand. We don't think God does that anymore. So we're going to let up the umbrella and keep it off of us. We don't want the rain to fall upon us. We want to protect ourselves from the rain. Well, it's good to protect yourself from physical rain, but we don't need to protect ourselves from Holy Ghost rain. Are we going to let up the umbrella and keep God from pouring his spirit out? Just because we don't want the blessing, that doesn't mean that God's not pouring it out. God is still pouring out his spirit. In fact, he promised it will come to pass in the last days. And this is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. It will come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit. God has promised to pour out his spirit. And I used to think that when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Ghost came in that upper room and God poured out his spirit. And that was it. It was poured out. Every once in a while, somebody got a little dose here or there. But as far as God pouring out his spirit, it happened on the day of Pentecost. You know what? It did happen on the day of Pentecost. But you know what else? It's been happening ever since the day of Pentecost. God has not stopped pouring out his spirit. When God said, I will pour out of my spirit, he didn't mean just tip the bucket over one time. He said, I will pour out my spirit. That means a continual pouring. God is still pouring out his spirit. The problem is we have let up the umbrella and stopped the spirit from being poured out. We haven't stopped God from pouring out the spirit. We have just stopped the spirit from being poured out upon our individual life or maybe our whole churches. You can stop God's spirit from being poured out in a whole church. You say, how in the world can you do that? Well, all you got to do, the pastor and the leaders, the deacons, the board, whoever it is, they just can adopt and adapt the policy that says we don't believe in that anymore. We don't believe that God is pouring his spirit out like that. And you know what? They're right. God's not pouring his spirit out like that in their congregation because they have decided not to believe in it. If you don't believe in healing, if you don't believe that God heals anymore, guess what? He doesn't. He doesn't because you don't believe it. But just because you don't believe it and he doesn't in your case, that doesn't stop him from doing it. God is still pouring out his spirit, whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not. God is still healing, whether we believe it or not. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the all flesh is people. He's not talking about cow flesh and pig flesh and dog flesh. He's talking about people. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Here's the Pentecostal umbrella, people. You have to decide as a people, an individual, a church, a nation, people within a nation all over the world, we have to decide, is that for me or not for me? If we say, that's not for me, I don't believe in that old wild stuff. I don't believe in that old fogey stuff. I don't believe in all that tongues and prophecy and running around. I don't believe in all that. Well, you have just let your umbrella up. You have stopped the water from being poured out on you. But God said, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. There's another Pentecostal umbrella, prophecy. God said, when I pour my spirit out on your sons and daughters, they will prophesy. That is, they will proclaim the good news of the gospel to this generation. Do we want to be part of that kingdom? Do we want to be part of that message that's going forth? Do we want to be part of that that's sending forth the gospel to all nations? He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. But if you say, I don't believe in that prophecy stuff anymore, we don't need that anymore, we've got a complete Bible, and they call it cessation, it stopped. They believe that with the death of the apostles and the completion of Scripture, that we don't need the gifts, we don't need tongues, we don't need prophecy. But God said, I will pour my spirit out in those days, and it will not stop with just one time. It'll keep on going. So your sons and your daughters will keep on prophesying. They'll keep on going. It just keeps on going and going and going. And if we let down our umbrella and allow the spirit of prophecy to come upon us, the sons and the daughters will prophesy. One of the things about the spirit being poured out in our day is that we need prophecy. We don't need gossip. Gossip tears things down or tears things up, whichever way you want to look at it. We need prophecy. Prophecy builds up. Prophecy edifies. Prophecy lifts up. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And the umbrella is the peculiar experience. We have always been saying for a long time, I'll just be so glad when things get back to normal. Well, we don't want to be normal. We want to be more than normal. We want to be abnormal, that is, for the Lord. We don't want to be normal. We don't want to be status quo. We don't want to be the regular kind of Christians. We want to be something more and beyond normal. And this is the peculiar experiences, if you want to call it that. Some people think that when you shout and praise the Lord, even if you do it in English or your native language, that's a peculiar experience. Anything beyond the quiet, easy, go, cheap, easy believism, they think that's strange. They think that's abnormal. Well, we don't want to be normal. We want to be abnormal for Jesus. We want to be radical for Jesus. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And even in many of our circles, we cut that out. We say, no, we don't want no visions and dreams. People having strange visions and strange dreams. And I know we take a chance. We take a chance when we believe it. We take a chance in the visions and dreams. Some of them are cuckoo, I know. But it has to go along with God's Word. It has to be backed up by God's Word. But still, just because people have a bad dream or a bad vision, one that's not right, we cannot throw it away. Because if we say that visions and dreams are not for our day anymore, then it's easy for people to say, well, neither is tongues, neither is prophecy. You shouldn't go to church. You don't have to do much of anything. They just write it all off and say the Bible's not real anymore. They just say it's not real. And they just write it off as not true. But no matter what they say, the Word of God is still real. The Word of God is still true. And even if they call you peculiar, even if they call you a holy roller, it doesn't matter. He said, on my servants and on my handmaidens, that is the poor. This is not for just the Jew. It's not for just the elite class. It's not for just the high class. On your servants and on your handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. God has chosen to reach down and take the poor fellow, the poor girl that doesn't do anything, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. somebody that doesn't have much say-so in the church, somebody that's last name doesn't begin with a certain letter, somebody that doesn't have a big name in the church. God said, them, on my servants, on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They will prophesy just like the sons and the daughters, just like the big boys, just like the preacher, just like the apostle. There are different positions in the church, but everybody's the same. Everybody is a brother. Everybody is a sister. The ground is level, the foot of the cross. No big eyes, no little U's. God said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. I will not make any difference between the big king and the pauper, between the son and the daughter and the servant and the handmaid. They will all prophesy. They will all be important. That is the preference. Will we lift up our umbrella and say, I prefer this one. I prefer that one. I like the preacher with the brown shoes. No, I like the preacher with the black shoes. I like the one who has a beard. No, I don't like him with a beard. I like the girl with the long dress. No, we have all these preferences, but God said, I don't have any preferences. I'll use whoever lets me use them. It amazes me beyond measure why God would use me, why God would choose me, the most unlikely of the unlikelies, one who would certainly not have anything to offer God. Why in the world would he use me? If God can save me, he can save anybody. If God would use me, he can use anybody. He has no preference. And then he said, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Now, right there between that space, he was talking about those who are prophesying, the sons and the daughters, the servants and the handmaids. And where he said, and I will show wonders. Just that little space in your Bible, do you know what is right there? The church age and the rapture. The rapture takes place right in that little space in your Bible. You're prophesying, the Spirit's being poured out, the gospel's going forth, people are being healed, people are being blessed, people are being saved. And then the rapture takes place. And then the church age closes. And now the tribulation comes. And he said, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Pastor Ron has been teaching about it in the book of the Revelation. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. This is the post-rapture. Pentecostal umbrella is post-rapture, takes place after the rapture. It's called the tribulation period, that awful time that's coming on this world where the sun will be darkened and the moon will look like blood. Signs and wonders will be shown in the heaven. The judgment of God will be poured out on this world. Don't wait till then to seek the Holy Spirit. Don't wait till then to try to get right with God. Get right with God now while he's pouring his Spirit out upon all flesh. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Pentecostal umbrella is purpose. There is a purpose for all this. The purpose is salvation. Will we let up the umbrella and say, I don't need salvation. I'm going to cover myself up. I don't need the Lord. I don't need the preacher. I don't need the Bible. Will we hide ourselves under the umbrella and say, I don't need that? Or will we let down our Pentecostal umbrella and say, this is a purpose of God for my life. There's a purpose of salvation. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a purpose in all of it. God's purpose is not tongues. That's part of it. That's the initial evidence. That's a way to get the word of God out. It's not even prophecy. That's part of it. But his purpose, what does he want to accomplish? What is the end purpose? That is salvation. It's all to naught. If all you hear is tongues and prophecy, if all you hear is racket, if all you hear is shouting and dancing, all that is good. But if that is all it is, it's just a bunch of noise with no results. The purpose is salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a promise. The Pentecostal umbrella is promise. If we let up the umbrella and say, no, that promise is not for me, surely that's not for me. I'm just a city girl, or I'm just a country boy. I'm just a this, or I'm just a that. I don't have education. I can't do this. I can't do that. We have all our excuses why we shouldn't be blessed, and why we shouldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and why we shouldn't be sanctified. There's all kind of reasons. People use reasons why they shouldn't get saved. I've done too bad. I've done too many sins. I've gone too far. God says, just come to me as you are, and I'll save you. And the promise of the Spirit being poured out is for all people. He said, the promise is unto you. And not just you, but to your children, to your children's children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise is for us. The promise is for all of us. The promise is for red and yellow and black and white. The promise is for Americans. The promise is for Asians. The promise is for everybody in the world who comes to Christ. The promise is for you, to your children, to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, who is he calling? He's calling everybody. The promise is for everybody. Let down that umbrella and get in the rain. Let the rain of promise come down upon you. Let the rain of the Holy Spirit come down upon you. God wants to give you his promise. God wants to bless you with his promise. There are all kind of Pentecostal umbrellas. Some of them are good and some of them are not so good, but people are hiding under the umbrella. And we need to let down our umbrella, go ahead and decide to get wet, let the Holy Ghost rain down on our life and let him bless our soul. And don't worry about what people's going to think. Don't worry about what the church is going to think. It doesn't matter. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the church was started. And now there are umbrellas all across the world that says, no, we can't do that anymore. We can't be like that anymore. That's too old-timey. That's too old-fashioned. We need to let those umbrellas down. Go ahead and punch holes in them or do whatever we have to do and say, we don't care. We may have stained glass windows. We may have fine facilities. That's all right. But the important thing is we've got to have the Holy Spirit. We've got to have the power of God. In the book of Acts, all you have to do is read it. Peter, James, and John, the apostles, Paul, they saw visions, they dreamed dreams, they heard the Holy Spirit speak to them. The Holy Spirit speaks to us every once in a while. Well, he may speak more than that, but we act like that's the only time we hear him. Every once in a while, we'll hear the Spirit speak to us. But it's not that way in the early church. The Spirit spoke to them often. He talked to them often. When they tried to go into Mysia, into Bithynia, different places, the Spirit would say, don't go there. Don't go there. And they tried to go somewhere else, and he said, yes, go ahead. I'm with you. They had his direction. They had his leading for their life. Peter goes up on the housetop. He has this vision. He sees visions. They dream dreams. He was in prison. He thought he had a vision, thought he saw a dream. The angel came and got him out of prison. They had visions. They had dreams. They had experiences with God. If you have experiences with God now, people think you're crazy. But that's not the way it should be. It should be normal to have experiences with God. It should be normal to speak in tongues. It should be normal to shout and praise God. It should be normal to worship God. You want to get back to normal? Yeah, I agree. That's the kind of normal we need to get back to. We need to get back to Pentecostal normal. We need to get back to Holy Ghost normal. We need to get back to salvation normal. We need to get back to sanctification normal. We need to get back to spirit baptism normal. We need to get back to healing normal. We need to get back to normal, where it's normal to share Jesus. It's a strange thing now. If you witness to somebody, you feel strange about it and they feel strange about it. But that's not the way it ought to be. That's not normal. It should be normal to witness for Christ. It should be normal to spread the gospel. It should be normal to send out missionaries. If you say you're a missionary now, people say, oh, he's crazy. He's giving up a good life. He's going to miss out on life. And it should not be that way. Our thinking has got to change back to spiritual thinking. When a person decides and announces to the church that God has called them to the mission field, We feel bad about it, and we don't want to say anything about it. We feel bad. How many steaks and Coca-Colas and all these things are going to be missing out on? And we ought to praise God that somebody is willing to give their life to preach the gospel, to be a missionary. Our thinking has gotten backwards. The church, people say, we got a backwards church now. Yes, we do, because we're doing everything backwards from what they did in the book of Acts. We're doing everything backwards what we should do. That's not the way God wants it. God wants us to take down the Pentecostal umbrellas, to get right with God, seek the face of God, and stay in an altar until the Holy Ghost comes. And it won't be long until we're filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, praising and worshiping God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message about Pentecostal umbrellas. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know when to put it up and when to take it down, when to close it down and when to let it up. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, to be excited about Jesus, not to be confused about our salvation, but to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that many sons and daughters would be born into the kingdom of God and have their own sanctified Pentecostal life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been listening to the Old Time Preaching from God's Holy Word. The title has been Pentecostal Umbrellas. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.